Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, where nothing terribly much happens, and in fact when the entire world's royalty meet in a gargantuan meeting of fanfare and huge deceased scumbaggery, New Zealand instead gets reported that a couple of US students died in a van crash because they weren't wearing their seat belts. That is the level of news that we have in this country. Gotta love it. And it's not like everywhere else is much better anyway. It's like instead of little small crappy country in the middle of nowhere kind of news, it's small insignificant crappy school shooting in the middle of nowhere kind of news. You know, it's just basically nothing that we're worried about today is any threat to us, and everything that we should be worried about we're not aware of. Right? Cancer, for instance. You know, you go to a group of school kids or anything like that. And you get them all, raise your hand if you're scared of sharks. You know, they'll all raise their hand. These kids are terrified of sharks, you know, because they all saw Jaws before they were allowed to and that kind of thing. And you raise their hands and ask them, how many of you are scared of cancer? Okay. All right, now, can one in like 300,000 of you kids raise your hand? Okay. You there. You might have some reason to be afraid of a shark. Because you might be the one that gets attacked by one. Okay, now can every second kid in the auditorium please raise their hand? Okay. Now, you've ordered... This is a New Zealand auditorium, of course, because that's our cancer rate, one and two. Now, which one of you kids are afraid of cancer now? Okay, see? What about terrorism? Can one in 30,000 of you please raise your hand? Okay, now you might have something to worry about. This is such an astronomical realm of worry that we live in. Always worried about the things... And terrified, scared, you know, like we'll stop doing things because we're so afraid of them. Even though they won't, in any way, do any damage to us. Isn't that interesting? You know, more people die of peanut allergies, just in the United States alone, than die from global terrorism. And of course, when you look at the terrorism, who are the ones that perpetrate all of it? Oh, that's right. Most of the time it's your own government. Why? Because they know. They know that you'll get really freaked out. You'll get really freaked out if they blow something up and that you'll turn to your government to save you. And your government will be only too happy to oblige. With curfews and checkpoints. And gropes and searches at the airports and the trains and taxi cabs at schools, at public libraries, at any public building, at private banks. These are the kind of things that we're now being conditioned into accepting. What direction are they headed? I want to hear from the listeners, actually, about this, because there's a lot of talk from all sides of the spectrum about what's actually really going on. And I think that what's going on is not actually relevant to how one should live one's life. It doesn't mean that reality doesn't matter. Far from it, reality matters heaps. However, what does it matter to me is what people should be asking. What does reality matter to me? What can I do about it? What works best for me? Okay. If I want to be part of the truth movement and I am a designer or am a graphic artist or a poster printing shop or something of that nature, what's the most easiest and most convenient and least work, basically, in terms of trying to learn a whole new skill set for life, can I do in order to be a truther? What works for you is the best answer, okay? Whatever works for you, man. Seriously. You don't have to go out there and wake everybody up in person. You know, there's some people that are behind the scenes in the truth movement, who literally do not want their names mentioned. Not because they're scared or anything like that, but because not only do they not want the recognition, they don't actually need the recognition. They just want to see the job done. And that's the kind of honor and dignity and respect that the truth movement has that you can't purchase. Okay? There's no workforce like this in the world. First of all, we're everywhere. Second of all, we're the most creative. Thirdly, usually the most highly intelligent. Fourthly, the most widely read. Okay, so we know a lot of stuff collectively. Although it matters, the collectives anyway, because they don't technically exist. Just like a forest doesn't exist, only trees do. Because you can't touch a forest, can you? What I'm saying here is that sometimes people lose sight of their objectives. Okay? First objective. What's your first objective in life, in the truth movement? First of all, save your own life. If you can't take care of yourself, how are you gonna protect somebody else? You know, don't give people things that you can't afford. You know? And if it turns out that you can't, ask for help. You know, you really do have to. Oftentimes we're not afforded much of a choice. Many truthers are flung into it, and there's no going back, is there? I'm not going back to those pills. I'm not going back to that job. I'm not going back to that couch. I'm not going back to that fast food restaurant. I'm not going back to that doctor's office. I'm not going back to that lawyer. I'm not going back to that psychiatrist. I'm not going back to that politician. If I am, I'm coming there to get them out of the job. Some of us are, well, I think the truth movement is kind of split into these two factions, right? You've got, just like in any war, the troops that are fighting on your side will be comprised of frontline troops and backline troops. Frontline troops are the ones who go and do the damage to the enemy, the ones who actually go to the protests, to the Bilderberg conferences, do the microphoning and the megaphoning and all of that kind of stuff, and the filming and the editing. The people whose names are, and efforts are splashed all over the place. Okay. There's those people, the frontliners. Now, they are supported by the backliners. Okay, backliners in terms of military would be kind of like the medics, the cooks, the transporters, the drivers, and things of that nature. In warfare, I think there's an old saying by Sun Tzu that one wagon on the field is worth seven wagons setting off for battle. It's because you'll consume six wagons of food just in order to get your seven wagons to point B, right? Because this is all a war of attrition, you understand? And the reason why the frontline people can't survive on their own to a large degree is because if you're focusing your effort on exposing your enemy, doing damage to your enemy, oftentimes you forget about yourself, and you simply don't have time to go out and earn a living for yourself if you're too busy, sticking it to the New World Order or what have you. And so backline people are the people who want to see frontline people going out and doing their job, but they don't necessarily want to be the ones doing it, or they maybe can't be. They don't have the right talents, the right skills. They simply don't have any interest in it. However, they like to watch it, view it, listen to it, and enjoy it, and get information out of it. And in many ways, contribute enormous unseen amounts to those frontline people who otherwise would not exist without the backline people. And without the frontline people, the backline people would be going, oh my God, there's nobody else out there. I'm all alone. This whole bad truth movement thing really sucks, man. Because I'm the only one awake. It seems I'm walking around as some mindless mess of fluoridated zombies. They're sipping aspartame. And they're getting vaccines. And they're getting public education. And they're loving the UN. They're talking about how great it is. They're talking about how there's too many people and we need to start paying our carbon taxes. You know, it's depressing. All of the stuff seems really mainstream to maybe some new listeners or whatever. It's just like, yeah, so what? People are talking about that. To a truther, those things are really scary. Really terrifying. They connote extermination and enslavement and tyranny. To a nines. That's why it's such a stressful thing, being a truther. That's why a lot of us are very emotional, because we're under intense stress at all times. Many truthers are substance abusers, smoking, drinking, drug abuse, things of that nature. Sometimes. Not all times. But there's a lot of trauma that people have to get over as part of just being a human being, let alone being a truther. And I don't want to use it as a kind of like this catch-all term. It doesn't mean necessarily 9/11 is a job or anything like that. I think it's come beyond that, or at least for me it has. Being a truther means wanting to know and wanting to expose and propagate the truth, whatever the truth might be. It might be that there are many truths. And as long as we just keep talking about all of them, all the time, eventually people will get used to the truth. It will no longer be a shock that's difficult for them to admit to. It will no longer be something relegated to late night talk radio. I was listening to late night talk radio last night, driving home. And, you know, what's funny, when I'm listening to the radio during the day, when all the people are listening mostly, yeah, there's not a whole lot of very critical stuff of the government or real poignant thought going on. Listen to the late night talk radio. That's when some of the freedom sort of starts to come onto the airwaves. That's when those hosts think they can express themselves a little more. But sure enough, if they say something a little off colour, they'll be getting a call from the producer the next morning. They can't say what they want. So you got a whole generation of people who have grown up in a very similar work situation to that, very similar schooling situation to that, where you know different to what the person's telling you. And you feel that you could say something, but you still don't. Listen to the Vinnie Usual Show. The call-in lines are now open, 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. We'll be taking calls for the whole 2 hours. 218-339-8525 is the number to ring in. We'll be right back, folks, at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh yeah, sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, it's business time, it's business time.
It's business, it's business time.
That's what you mean it's business time. Oh.
It's business, it's business time.
Oh yeah, that's right. We go brush our teeth, that's all part of it, that's foreplay. You go sort out the recycling. That's not part of it, but it's still very important. Next thing you know, we're in the bedroom. You're wearing that ugly, baggy t-shirt from that team-building exercise you did for your old work. And it's never looked better on you. Oh, wah, 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 wah. I take off my trousers and trip over them, but I turn it into a little dance that makes you think, yum, he's very sexy. Now I'm down to just my socks. And you know, when I'm down to just my socks, what time it is. It's time for business. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
You know, when I'm wearing my socks, it's business time. They're business socks.
It's business. It's business time.
making love for, making love for two, making love for 2 minutes. That's right. Almost finished. When it's with me, you only need 2 minutes because I'm so intense. You say something like, "Is that it?" But I know what you mean. You mean, "Oh yeah, that's it." 2 minutes in heaven is better than 1 minute in heaven. You tell me you want some more. Well, I'm not surprised. Oh, but I'm quite sleepy.
It's business. It's business time.
Business hours are over.
This time, ladies and gentlemen, I felt like listening to that song the whole way through because normally I only listen to like the first couple of verses of it, but the whole song is great, eh? It's bloody funny. Flight of the Conchords. I mean, if ever there was some funny New Zealanders, Flight of the Conchords, mate, they're brilliant, hilarious. They would do a song about, what's it called? The humans are dead. We use poisonous gases. And we poison their asses. Yeah, you know, just real funny stuff that's just brilliant. Even do a binary rap. 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 001 You know, just silly. And I find that, well, basically, it's like Monty Python said, you're just got to be an intelligent man who's prepared to be a little bit silly. You know? Come on! That's what the child, winds up getting beaten out of them, you know. Stop being silly. Stop making fun of things. Stop having fun. Stop enjoying life. Stop imagining. Stop dreaming. That's what kids' lives are like, man. Rules, regulations, limitations, this, that, and the other. How the frick are you supposed to get anybody's creativity all riled up in an environment like that, man? I think for the most part, it kills the majority of people's creativity and lust for life and even dreams or hopes of ambitions of never being a slave. You know, that's how society is, as I see it. It's just this bold move to convince entire generations that they aren't worth it. You know, like it's the opposite of the L'Oreal or the Maybelline commercials, you know. We'll tell you that you're worth it. But the only way that you're actually going to be worth it is if you work incredibly hard so that you can come up with exorbitant amounts of cash for this crap that costs us bugger all to make, that we slap an expensive label on just so that you can tell your pretentious, vacuous, shallow, hollow, numbskull friends that you are wearing a cancer-causing brand label on your skin. Yes, indeedy. This is your path to salvation. Cake it on, why don't you? Get the mud cake variety. It's even gooier on your skin. It's obscene. You see people around me, is being yourself that much of an effort that you're willing to spend an hour plus in front of the mirror before going out to apply sufficient strip mine cake tin versions of makeup, lip gloss, eyeliner, and blush and eyeshadow? And we're not talking about going to a prom here. We're talking about going to get some nice tailored cigarettes from the shop. It's a waste of time. You, but your appearance, I don't know. I think sometimes you really do need to take pride in your appearance, sure. But to spend your life focusing upon how you appear instead of who you really are is a wasted life. It's another thing. You know how they call it your life? You give any thought to what that means? Wait. It means it's mine. It means I get to do whatever the hell that I want with it. That's right. You remember how your parents told you they wanted you to become a doctor, they wanted you to become a lawyer, or they wanted you to become a maths whiz or anything like that? They paid for your college or your university. They gave you your car. They told you that this is all going to be great, blah, 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 blah. You're going to go do what we want you to do from fracking birth, what we basically told you and forced you into, and never asked you a single question. What do you want to do with your life? You know, I met this guy from China, or I think it might have been from Hong Kong, when I was at Auckland University. And so I asked him, you know, what are you studying? He said, maths. I say, are you enjoying it? And he's like, no, not really. I was like, why are you doing it, man? And it was his parents. They talked him into it. They got him to do it. And so I told him, mate, if you're doing something and it's not making you happy, then you are not living your life. Your parents don't have to be here. They don't have to sit through those boring classes. They don't know what it's like for you. For all intents and purposes, they don't care. All they want to see is a bit of paper at the end of it and to hear that you're happy. And if you're not happy, then they're not going to be happy either. Because they want to see you live your life as much as you do. Don't keep your head down and not talk to them about this. You know, you really need to talk to your parents. And he was shocked that somebody who he'd never even met before suddenly knew so much about him. And he said that I was speaking right through to him, right through to his heart. I don't know what happened to him. He might have gone out and changed his life, or he might have chickened out. Who knows? But at least I bloody well said something. So many other people, they get approached by random people. It's like, oh, it might be a bit private or anything like that. Look, man, there's no such thing as privacy anymore. Any illusion that you've got about that, you know, throw it right the hell out the window. Okay, you might be able to conceal things or keep private certain personal information from close relatives or friends or something to that degree, but you know, on the whole, our privacy is being violated like a rape victim on a daily basis. You know, without so much as a handshake. Okay, everything's being recorded. Everything. Anything of significance, anything that ticks a keyword trigger, it doesn't matter whether you're sending a text message from your smartphone or making a phone call through a landline or making a call through Skype or putting it on YouTube, anything, it all goes into the database. It's a very, very, very massive, massive electronic web that we've found ourselves stuck in. It was built there specifically for us, so that we would willingly give out all our information, and then they would use people's basic tendency to be full of themselves and tell everybody everything that they're doing in order to market things to them, to gather information on them, you know, where they are, what they're doing at pretty much all times, so that they can be easily monitored. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like the idea that Facebook has kind of gone public. I don't know, maybe... I mean, like being owned by Mark Zuckerberg alone is any great alternative to being owned by goodness knows how many other deadly, deadly, deadly investors that are out there prowling the stock market just looking for a chance to snap up a huge data mining facility. Yeah. I don't know. It kind of freaks me out a little bit. That's why I call it Facebook, and it has to be pronounced correctly, okay? It's a cross between fascism and Facebook. It's Facebook, right? And if you go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, you'll see the little Facebook logo that we've got there, as long as Eugenics for YouTube and Twitter for Twitter. So what I'm saying is, all of these scary things, doesn't matter the fact that you got no privacy, doesn't matter the fact you can't keep no secrets from anybody like that. Okay. if you're a truther, you don't have to worry about any of that. You know why? Because you live and breathe in the truth. You don't have to make anything up. You don't have to remember anything. If it's the truth, it's the truth. And it pours forth. And if somebody comes up to me and goes, oh, actually, I've got a little bit of evidence that proves that you're wrong in that statement you just made. You go, really? Show me the proof. Oh, I am wrong. Excellent. What do you mean, excellent? I say, mate, do you have any idea what a blessing it is to be proven wrong? It means I'm not right all the time. And I'm a fairly cynical bastard, so me being right all the time is quite depressing. You know, being wrong is great fun. It's brilliant. Because unlike the rest of the times, we're basically walking around, begging that we're right, hoping to God we're not wrong. And yet when we are, it gives us the opportunity to bloody learn something for a change. I hate being right, because it means I've learned nothing new. World's the same today as it is yesterday. I mean, there might be slightly more scumbaggery and slightly more resistance piled on top of it or something like that. Everything's clashing. It makes for a confusing worldview, being a truther. Mostly because it takes a long time to research and a lot of discussion and repetition in order to process that research until you've got an actual handle on it. Having a handle on this information and being able to, you know, just instantly come up with a obscure reference at the drop of a hat relating to dark occulted mysticism in a drunken barroom conversation, mate, that's a truther. Truthers can talk about all day, every day, and nothing can stop them. You know why? They can talk about conspiracy theories so often, you know, or you cops listening. You know why we can talk about this all the time? Because it's far more interesting than anything the mainstream media or even mainstream movies and television have to offer, okay? There's been a couple of films that maybe have come close to the feeling of revelation that I felt after watching conspiracy documentaries from the information and the concepts and the filmmaking. Okay, a lot of talented filmmakers out there in the truth movement. It's a shame because I think that we need a Truther Academy Awards, okay? Or the Scumbaggery Awards. The Scumbaggery Awards, you know. Anybody who's famed for exposing the most scumbaggery with a particular film, particular strains of scumbaggery, like the pharmaceutical scumbaggery for cinematography award, etc. I'm sorry, I'm just being silly. But you get the idea. You know the reason why Hollywood has those big award ceremonies? It's to pat themselves on the back and promote their bloody movies. Nothing more. There's nothing to do with the craft. It has to do with selling more tickets, generating more hype, building up those actors and actresses with their pretty gowns and fabulous goose-stepping suits so that you will look up to them and want to adopt for their French leader, baby. You listen to the video. Focus. Yeah, yeah, there we go. Follow the Light by Sub Focus. Very, very interesting electronic musician. Okay. Now, in terms of the media, and I want to get philosophical with everybody here, you know, and for those of you just tuning in, hi, I'm Vinny Eastwood from The Vinny Eastwood Show. I've been around for like 4 years documenting all the stuff that goes on that the mainstream media doesn't. And I want to talk to you about the importance of having your own media that isn't bought out by giant companies and corporations. In the United States, in the 90s, under Bill Clinton, he passed an act that allowed something like hundreds and hundreds of media companies in the United States, with all the people's local broadcasters, local papers, and all of that kind of stuff. They lifted a restriction that stopped major corporations from buying out all of those newspapers, all of those radio stations, all of those local cable access TV shows and everything. And soon, instead of hundreds, it became eight. And then from eight, it became five. And then from five, it became four, which we have today. And from Armstrong, from four, it'll go from three to two and to one. And that one will not just own the media, because it'll be bought out by the world government. This is what the media is actually there to do, is to manipulate you into buying in to the schemes and scumbaggery of your local government, your national government, and the world government all together. It is there to influence you to buy particular products that will wind up wasting your wealth at a minimum of expense to the manufacturer, so that they can suck up all that wealth from you, meanwhile selling you a poison which will make your life a lot harder and more expensive to live, for which they will provide you through the media as well and suggestion that a doctor will be the best thing for it, as opposed to a herbalist or a naturalist or a naturopath or any other form of person who actually has a likelihood of properly healing you, rather than charging you exorbitant fees for pharmaceutical drugs and sending you on your way to deal with the side effects. The mainstream media is being used to concoct a world view for you. That worldview will strangle every form of freedom, every form of deep thought, creativity, truth, and justice on this world. And I'm sure if it grows beyond that, it'll start to spread on into the universe like a galactic mind control cancer, which is already beaming out into space. I can just imagine what other species must think of us. I cannot believe these people are watching the GC. I cannot believe it. This is hilarious. What kind of a species lives on this planet here? We are misinformed so wholesale about everything. The mainstream media is full of what Ian Wishart, who's once one of the country's most noted journalists, says, that the mainstream media talking heads are airheads, that they are morons, that they have no clue what is going on. This is the agenda. You get somebody who looks pretty, who looks at you with sex eyes through that camera, and you make a connection. And she reads a script, and she tells it like she's been told, and that's all she knows. And you're being told all she's been told, and that's all you know. And no other drilling questions are asked. There are occasions, of course, when the media might actually do their job for once. Around 4 years too late, often enough. And then they'll pick up on something. They'll pick up on that, oh, fluoride's actually bad for you. And then eventually that gets buried in the headlines under a, oh my God, anybody who questions fluoride is a moron. Repeated 1,000 times from the one time that they told you the truth. They will lie to you 1,000 more to cover it up. The mainstream media has no concern with the democratic process. Our elections are won, fought, and lost on the airwaves. This is why nobody turned out to vote in the last New Zealand election. The lowest voter turnout since 1886. As in, the only time when we had that few voters that were around to actually give a flying frack and turn up and vote was when women weren't even allowed to vote. You've got to be kidding me. You know why nobody cared? You know why nobody thought that they had a choice? Because the mainstream media was parroting, puppeting, and purporting and reporting that this election was a zipped-up bag, that there was 50% plus of the population who wanted to vote for National and something like 25 or 30% or something like that who wanted to vote for Labour, and only about maybe 4% for Winston Peters. When independent polling and shown something completely different. And so everybody believing those lies, those polls that are manipulated by Colmar Brunton and other polling companies, this happens everywhere in the world, all these polling companies, they don't call people at random at all. They literally trawl through all these lists of people, calling them, asking them questions, and if they are a stupid person who answers a question in a way that they want to hear, okay, that their person is paying them to take this poll, because these are private polling companies, understand? If you pay a scientist to get you some lab results, he tries to make sure that he gets you the lab results you want. That's precisely what's going on here. Internal documentation from the National Party, reported by Nikki Hager, but not purported 1,000 times repeated over by the media, said that the National Party has been the most cynical, manipulative political party basically in all history. The way that they think of the public in internal memorandum and what have you would make every proud blue flag waving Kiwi sick to their absolute stomach if you knew how John Key and the National Party actually really thought about you and talked about you behind closed doors. They think you're slaves. They think you're morons. They think you're scum. And thanks to the mainstream media, that thought process that they have for you, they create and mold you into as well. Such is the power of repetition. The CIA figured out a long time ago that one of the most powerful brainwashing techniques known to man is continuous repetition. It is drummed into you. There are car accidents every day. There's a person who died in hospital every day. There is a new strain of flu every day. There's a new terrorist attack in Bahrain every day. There is this. There is that. It's a threat. You'll have to be incredibly afraid today as well as tomorrow and the next day. Worry about earthquakes. Worry about storms. Worry about everything that you shouldn't actually prioritize as a list of things you should worry about, because they're not here in front of your face. They don't really affect you. You know what really affects you? Mainstream media lying to absolutely everybody and creating a uniform compliance of consent amongst the population for which politicians can use to manipulate and destroy the electoral process by any means necessary. That is a real, clear, and present danger. And you need to support your real media. Not your mainstream media, your real media, the people who are really going out there, really asking the questions, and really doing the work. This is Vinnie Eastwood, Mr. News. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The caller lines are now open, and I'd like you to ring in. The number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Would absolutely love to hear from you. If you have anything to say about being a truther, about growing up, about how tough and crappy everything seems to be, and you feel like you're about to explode, that's when you need to reach out. That's when you need to pick up that phone and call somebody on talk radio and let it vent, man. Trust me. Anger and rage and frustration is like dynamite inside you. You need to throw it away from you so it doesn't explode and turn you into a cripple. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. 218-339-8525. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, New Zealand's number one truther show, namely because it's pretty much the only one on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And you should probably go in and listen to some of the archives. There's a whole bunch of other stuff in there. And the caller number is 218-339-8525. New callers will be appreciated. In fact, we have a new caller right here, area code 337. What's your first name and state you're calling from, please?
Chad, and I'm calling from Louisiana.
What's on your mind today, Chad?
Well, I'm just thinking that there's not that much cohesion, you know, within the truth movement. You know, a lot of people have different ideas and ideologies, and they don't seem to always coincide. And I've often wondered in the past if sometimes some of those divisions are aggravated on purpose, like with counter-intel pro, you know, like did, you know, through, like, dissident movements, you know, in the history, you know, back in the 60s and 70s. You know. So I was wondering if some of that may be going on, you know, what I'm thinking, you know, at times. And I enjoy your show because you speak, and you're a little more empowering than some of the other people who talk about the conspiracy movement. You know, some others will just tell you, you know, how the war is already lost, you know.
I've got the opposite perspective to that. I say we've already won the war, and we're just going through the motions here. I mean, it's like, if the war couldn't be won, I wouldn't be doing this radio show for one. There wouldn't be a truth movement for two. And three, that we wouldn't be exposing their legislation. We wouldn't be protesting their Bilderberg groups. That's a sign that we've already won, because it was, it's basically, because they've been able to keep themselves out of public awareness completely, that's the only way that their plans have been able to go through without a hitch. And every time we throw one spanner in the works, every time we draw a tiny bit of attention, it delays their plans enormously. And I'm acting under the assumption that now we're delaying their plans on a constant basis. Every single day they do something, it gets exposed. And so we're pushing their plans back so fast, so regularly, that they will basically never be able to put the final capstone on that pyramid. The only chance that they got, really, is to get all of us who are waking up fighting with each other. That's why I feel that if we come together on the points we agree, you know, for example, Chad, you don't feel like getting exterminated today or any other day, do you?
Nope.
Then we got no arguments, do we?
What's that?
Then we don't have any arguments.
No. There we go.
Pretty straightforward.
It's like,
what got me started thinking about this a little bit is, you know, the different factions, you know, within the truth movement, you know. Like, when Occupy Wall Street started getting big, you know, there's a lot of disparaging of the movement, you know, where these people, you know, were really trying to get some legitimate causes addressed, you know, like the income inequality that's happening in America at this time, you know?
And, oh, yeah.
And I guess that's all I have to share with you today, so thank you.
Well, I think you raised a good point there, because what happens is we look to other things and other people to give us hope a lot of times, don't we? You know, we'll see a movement rising up there, or we'll see a radio show host, or we'll see a documentary, and it'll make us feel really uplifted, but we don't see the whole system change. And all that hope and all that energy that we had at the time just kind of dissipates, you know? Sort of like a chemtrail that's been up there for all day, sort of thing, and it just kind of bathes everything in this nice toxic milky cloud of, oh man, I thought we really had something there. I thought Occupy Wall Street was going to go the distance. I thought that documentary was going to get out further. Well, the fact of the matter is that stuff is getting out there. It is making a difference, but we don't hear about it on the mainstream media, and we don't hear about it on a lot of the real media either, because we often we thrive on bad news. We've adopted in such a large way, haven't we, Chad? That whole tendency to want to hear the worst bad news today. Oh, thank goodness it's a Bilderberg Group conference. They're going to talk about it, how they're going to exterminate us all, and that gets us really excited. You know, it's energetic. But to talk about, hey, everything's sweet as, man, because you're no longer a slave and you've woken up. And you're actually decided that you want to make a difference. And just you thinking that you want to make a difference, just you talking to normal people in your community makes that difference. Even if you don't see the whole world change, just change yourself. That's enough change. If you can change yourself, then you know how to change other people, because everybody is just like you. They all see the same thing you're seeing. You know, and they can't pretend that they don't. And you shouldn't sit around and say, okay, I understand that you can't, and I understand that you won't. That's not something that we're capable of understanding, because we didn't need to sit around and deny reality. Not forever. Neither can everybody else. The more we talk about it, the more it's out there, the more we discuss it, the more it takes hold. It's inevitable, as Agent Smith would say. So, in fact, Chad, you reminded me of last night, and if you subscribe to me, $5 a month, you can do this too. I had about an hour-long conversation, I think, with one of my subscribers, Merck, who lives in a little town in New Zealand called Tauranga, and she doesn't really have any truth of mates down there. And she was asking me, you know, are there any mates in my area that I might be able to, you know, meet up with and have a coffee, talk about how David Rockefeller's a scumbag or anything like that? And I said, you know what? There quite likely is. Do you use Facebook? She goes, well, I try to stay away from that. I say, well, I'll think about this. I've met a lot of friends and talked to a lot of people who I've wound up actually, you know, meeting up with in person in my area, having conversations with and coffees with and that kind of stuff that I've met on Facebook. More specifically, through the Vinnie Eastwood Show Facebook group. Because all the people who listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, they all recognize similar things to you and me, Chad, that it's good to have a bit of levity. It's good to have some fun. I mean, after all, it's just the end of the world. And you might you may as well just have some fun with some other people in your area, because I feel we're social creatures and we need contact with other people of a like mind just to make sure that we're not the ones going nuts here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's easy to think you're just getting into your own echo chamber by listening to certain radio programs or like reading certain material that kind of exposes some of this stuff, you know.
Mm. Oh, and there's so many.
And then you start to wonder if you're being manipulated in a certain way. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, undoubtedly. Undoubtedly, we're being manipulated every day in every way. I mean, and if you feel like you're getting into an echo chamber and maybe the you're hearing the same information a bit too much. Change up a little, you know, like try branching off into a different field, because there's so many different elements of the truth movement, you know, like there's occult research, Freemasonry, pharmaceuticals, Codex Alimentarius, Agenda 21, Trilateral Commission, Bilderberg, ancient discoveries, ancient technologies, real stories from old texts, aliens and UFOs, and so much different stuff, and all the stuff that seems really crazy that a lot of truthers sort of avoid because they don't want to be seen as a bit nuts. My perspective is you're already seen as a bit nuts. You might as well learn some nuts stuff too, just to give yourself some credit.
I saw that Dan Rather was on TV the other day, you know, agreeing with you about the mainstream media, you know, which was kind of funny, being that he's from the mainstream media, and he's even seeing the problems with it now, you know.
Well, he should
problem know. With his own career. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's another point. Who was it? I think one of my listeners was telling me about this. I think it was Sid in Kentucky, actually. He listens and calls in quite regularly, and he told me that he doesn't like to call us alternative media anymore. He thinks, as far as he's concerned, what we're talking about is mainstream now, and he's right, because, as he said, even Dan Rather, the mainstreamest of the mainstream reporters, even agrees with pretty much everything we're saying. Even Geraldo Rivera, the guy who gave the finger to Alex Jones and a whole bunch of 9/11 truth protesters, had Richard Gage from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth on his program talking about Building 7. This is now mainstream, okay? So we're sitting around waiting for all these great instances to happen that'll show that we're accepted and that we're the majority. They've already happened. Be confident. Be happy. We've already won. Isn't that an encouraging thought?
Yes, that's very encouraging.
Yeah!
Geraldo Rivera.
Every time these people in the mainstream media are telling you that you're a stupid conspiracy theorist, every time you call into talk radio, like, I was listening to this guy listening into talk radio in New Zealand here, man, and he talked about how the Codex Alimentarius and the food bill and all this kind of stuff and Agenda 21 was all for the New World Order, the world government, and the person asked, where did you hear all this stuff? And I was saying, and I was going, please say I heard it on the Vinnie Eastwood show. Please say I heard it on the Vinnie Eastwood show. No, he didn't say that. He said, oh, I heard it on the internet. And so, of course, what the mainstream media show host does, well, you can't believe everything that you hear on the internet. And then hung up on him before he could rebut. So there's still some of those mainstream media idiots. I mean, basically, some of the people who don't get what mainstream is are the mainstreamers themselves. It's just, they're right at the coal face, and they don't realize that they got soot all over their eyes.
I think you can only push people so far before they realize, though, that something's going on. It's like now families, your both parents are working all the time, you know, and still not making it, you know, losing health care, losing benefits. I mean, there's got to be some point where people, you know, say, hey, you know, something's going on here. No matter how much they try and keep you dumbed down, your survival is going to tell you, you know, that it's getting harder and harder to make it. You know, things aren't right, you know?
Then you
start watching some programs and saying, oh, this is all normal. This is what needs to happen, you know? You know, to pay off national debts or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I think we've got such strong ability, our species, eh? Because think about this. From birth, you're injected with vaccines, you're popped in front of a television as a babysitter to mind control program you, then you're popped into a food service industry training job that I call public education. After you get out of that, you wind up in a bad situation with some goddamn employer that doesn't care about you, that pays you the crappiest wage or whatever. You never hear anything stimulating, you never see anything worth reporting home about, and it becomes your life, all that unimportant crap. And yet, despite all of those enormous influences upon every moment of our lives, people are waking up left, right, and centre like it's an epidemic. That speaks very well of the human condition as a whole. I mean, we're born with something like 200 chemicals now. 200 chemicals being tested in newborn babies' tubes. Okay? It's unbelievable. And yet we still wake up. We cannot be beaten. You know, we have immunity from scumbaggery, basically. Kind of like on Survivor, you know? Everybody's basically been given immunity from scumbaggery to a lesser or greater degree and can get off the island. The idea isn't to stay on the island. The idea is to get off, because this is not a place where you want to be. You don't want to be there in front of the cameras eating bugs and competing against everybody else and playing games and being a stupid little slave or whatever. I mean, at least they're wearing nice bikinis and such, but other than that. You know, it's just like, have you ever noticed that our life has become a game? You know, a game for other people's entertainment. And I don't know. I think that life needs to be a little bit more real. And we seem to have lost touch with that reality, especially with our families. You know, a lot of people tell me it's really hard to talk to their families. And it's like, well, bro, how often do you talk to your family about conspiracy stuff? Well, heaps, all the time. Okay. Do you ever let up and talk about the stuff you used to talk to them about? Do you ever play cards with them like you used to, or have fun with them at dinner, or tell a few jokes, or watch TV with them one time like you used to? All of those things that used to interest you actually still are there, but because something like being a truther, for example, and all this information is far more interesting, that's all we start talking about. And what happens is we lose our common ground with our family and we wind up pushing them away. And all you need to do is just remember your common ground sometimes.
Yeah. I think we keep getting this message, you know, that we're supposed to mistrust each other and watch each other for suspicious behavior at all times, you know. And I think it's good to treat people with trust and love and respect as much as you can, you know, to kind of counteract that message that we're steadily being given, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I think for just people's emotional well-being and mental health, you know, people, you know, need to be treated with respect, you know, and with kindness, you know, regardless of what opinions or attitudes they may have, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Being a truth is full-time, I mean, don't you think?
Yeah. When I was growing up, you know, I was always taught that, you know, you take a man at his word, you know, because that's all he has, a man has his word, you know. But it's kind of taught, you know, to try and trust people, you know, unless they prove you wrong, you know. Rather than look around you at all times for anybody that's out trying to get you.
Yeah,
about the game theory, and it kind of addressed that. You know how society's attitude towards everybody else changed. You know.
Yeah. Just remember, and we're coming to break here, Chad. If you want to hold on after the break and talk some more, you can or whatever. But the basic underlying principle is: life is not a game. It is not a spectator sport, and you cannot win, nor can you score a touchdown if you do not set foot upon the field. Nor can you do that unless you can trust the people on your team who are next to you. So surround yourself with people who are talented and able to do something in order to win this big old game. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Chad, thanks for your call. We'll be right back after the break.
Get me driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations or let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations. Have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command because I don't got a missile but satellite.
You listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show. A satellite-guided, laser-targeted missile of truth being shot directly into the giant mainstream media broadcasting apparatus nestled deep within the gooey soft tissues of your fluoride-encrusted pineal gland. Oh, yes, American Freedom Radio. jutting out into the sky like a great Masonic penis of broadcasting standards authority quality. Oh, yeah. Speaking of broadcasting standards, do our broadcasters have any standards these days? Do they even do any research? I love... Here's a fun game, okay? If you ever want to call up a mainstream media person and make them look like an idiot, this is just the funniest thing ever. Call up and talk about any conspiracy theory, and when they ask you a question about it, just ask them firstly, have you Googled it? Have you so much as Googled this topic that you think so much about? No. Then you don't know what you're talking about. You haven't even done so much as rudimentary glanced at the information. You haven't even done that. So how can I have a conversation with you and on an equal playing field? You don't know what you're talking about, mate. In any way, shape, or form. Shush. Just listen. And I'll tell you something. Okay, well, maybe that's a bit arrogant and they'll probably hang up on you, but you get the idea. That's what goes through your head. But you can just, you know, slip that in there. Have you Googled it? And then just continue on with the normal conversation after they deny it. And then all of a sudden everybody's listening who's in the know just going, man, this person really doesn't know what they're on about. Okay, it's quite simple. All right, so good setup. Now, speaking of which, what was I talking about? Laws. Man, laws. How many get passed all the time? And it's like, how much does your life actually change? Okay, where's the necessity? There's no necessity for laws in a large degree anymore. Basically, the only reason that those laws are necessitated is so the state can have far more control over every single aspect of your life. The New Zealand government has been passing 2 laws a day, since they got into power a number of years ago. 2 laws a day? You'd be kidding me. It's obscene. What are they passing? Where is the gargantuan crisis that necessitates such rapid, rambunctious, and obscure legislation? What necessitates all of that? Nothing's necessitated all that kind of legislation. Not at all. The globalists have told and ordered their lackeys in this part of the world to do all of that. They have an agenda, and it has a timeline. And you have to pass those laws, or else we crash your bloody economy. Because we're the Rothschilds. We own your economy. We own everything about you. We own your parliament. We own your medical industry. We own your media. We own everything. And we're full of hubris and scumbaggery, and we'll do everything that was within our considerable power to get what we want. And I don't care what country you're in. The same thing happens in every country. In America, you're getting laws passed all the time as well. And that's with 3 houses of government to get through. You've got your Congress, you've got your fracking Senate, and you've got your blooming executive branch. But now what the executives are doing all over the place, and this is the same here true in New Zealand, is they're passing legislation to allow themselves dictatorial power over who can control what legislation, when, where, and why. The absolute obnoxious nature and the manipulation and seedy underbelly of the political process is one thing that has completely undermined the entirety of society's morality, and now your rights are simply a slant on the law, as opposed to the law being a slant on your rights. You don't have any rights anymore. They have been legislated away. You've been supposed to be given those rights by an entity far more powerful in belief and magnitude and omnipotence than government was ever allowed to have. You're supposed to be given those rights by God, but instead now those rights are being taken away from you by men who think themselves gods. They wish to control everything about your life. Okay, it's no different if you've ever seen those made-for-TV movies about some poor woman who starts living with a violent boyfriend who starts controlling absolutely everything about her life and all of that kind of stuff. You know, that is what the government wants to do to you. Every moment of your day, you will be breaking the law. Okay, this is what Ayn Rand, if you ever want to listen to somebody who 50 years ago was well ahead of the curve. 50 years ago was saying that legislation is being passed at such a rapid rate, or words to these effect, that in the future, no person will be able to do anything in their daily life at all without breaking some form of law. There are that many. That's why they want them passed so regularly, so masterfully, and everywhere, all the time, because they're trying to make being alive illegal. And they don't want to just suddenly say, look, your life is illegal, we're going to kill you now. They don't want to do that. What they want to do instead is gradually take away from you everything that it means to be human. They want to take away from you everything that connotes you having rights, or you being in ownership of yourself, your own body, your own soul. They don't want you to feel that way because it makes you much harder to control. And if every single day, instead of having a little bit of money at the end of the day, and you've got, you know, perhaps a little bit of spare time to do some research or maybe finance an activist or anything like that. They don't want that either. So they're going to give you speeding tickets, parking tickets, fines, taxes, land rates, charge you money to have your trash picked up, charge you extra money on your light bulbs, on your water, on your filtration, on your weatherboards in your house, on your expensive solar panels. That do more damage to the environment than anything else. Okay? They get you from everywhere, and they allow it all to be in that position because of legislation. Fascism is when the government and the corporations work together to control the population, essentially. The symbol of fascism is a fasci. It is an axe that is wrapped in a bundle of sticks. The old saying goes, one stick by itself will snap. But a bundle of sticks is unbreakable. And that's what they want. They want an unbreakable government that has unflinching total control of the population, and they want to do it very slowly and very gradually, and they want to educate generations accordingly so that each subsequent generation will be far more enslaved, far less creative, far more dumbed down than the one before it. If you go out to public meetings in Auckland, and I'm sure you'll probably see this in nearly every meeting that you go to in city councils, halls, in anything of that nature, there is a distinct lack of young people. I'm a young person. I look around for other young people. The vast majority of the time, I don't see any. Or maybe if I do, I'll see a few, and they're outnumbered 10 to 1 by my elders. This is why the education system is being targeted by legislation all the time. New Zealand is now upping the class sizes. They're now introducing private charter schools. And all of these curriculums and everything that they're going to be teaching these kids will all be done by the government, and they'll all be passed down through the globalist masters at Agenda 21, headquarters in the UN. They determine what your children get educated. You get people who are now in school today who are being told that global warming is absolutely real, all the science is settled, without showing any of their science, and also being told that you are a pollutant, as in human beings are quite literally depicted in these children's books as toxic waste, that there are too many of us, that we're heating up the whole fracking world. Children being told that their life is dangerous, that it has no value, that they are a burden on the planet. Do you have any idea what's going to happen to those kids when they are the adults? Do you have any idea what's going to happen when they are the elders? Do you have any idea what they're going to teach their children, what they'll teach their grandchildren? This is why the education system is being used against us in an extremely powerful way, ladies and gentlemen. It is trying to brainwash and capture an entire generation of children so that they will enslave the next in a perpetual cycle of scumbaggery that will last through the eons, with the elite bankster filth at the top passing all these laws and all this legislation, making life harder for everybody. But because they never knew freedom, because they never even knew what being right was, because they never knew what objective truth was, because all they knew was consensus and doing what they were ordered to do, doing what they were told to do, there will never be a resistance. Today, the vast majority of the listeners to this kind of talk radio, talking about the truth, I'm not the only one by any stretch. Certainly the biggest in New Zealand, but that's incredibly insignificant. All right, trust me, New Zealand's a very insignificant place in terms of population base and or anything. It doesn't matter that I'm the biggest in New Zealand because nobody's heard of me. All right, and everybody's got their own little part to play. But the only reason why I'm capable of doing this, or why anybody else is capable of doing anything, is because we haven't been taxed enough yet. We haven't been fined enough yet. We haven't been incarcerated for long enough yet. We haven't been brainwashed for long enough yet. There haven't been enough laws passed to surveil us in everything that we do legally yet. We do not have laws that force my daily schedule yet. This is the future, where everything you cherish, every choice you think you can make, every bit of family time that you ever enjoyed will cease to exist, and it will never come back. That is what all this legislation adds up to. Okay? You wonder about two laws a day. What are they heading towards? That's what it is. I'm sorry to tell you that this is what is going on right now. Not tomorrow, not next week, but right now. And we had best get active, activating yourself as a brilliant idea. Getting your own affairs and your own mind and your own cogs in order is a brilliant idea. Just being able to think to yourself, well, hold on, everything's wrong. What's right? Just being able to have that thought alone is a positive outcome. Just being able to question what everybody else doesn't question at all. It's a very small step that you have to take towards victory. A very small step. Doesn't even have to be a big one. You know what's easy about a small step? It's a small step. Just take small steps every day, in every way. If you said one thing more to one more person today than you did yesterday, eventually, this stuff would all just melt away and we wouldn't have to worry about it anymore, because everybody would know what it figures out. Because there are kids rising up in these classrooms right now just going, no, my daddy said that the UN is a globalist organization and they want a one world government to carbon tax us so that they can control every aspect of human life and reduce the population down to 500 million. Comes back and he tells his father about this and he goes, that's my boy. Oh, we have an anonymous caller right now. You're on the air, and you'll actually have to wait until after the break, mate, but you've got 10 seconds to say something if you want.
I totally agree with you. All these laws are there to control us. They're making our cage smaller, and it's not there for freedom at all. It's just there to make our life a living hell.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what they say? I'd rather rule in hell than be a servant in heaven. And I think what the elite reckon is that this whole world is hell anyway. And they want to rule here over us like they're little demon servants. I'm sorry. We'll be right back. You can hold on, please, if you want, after the break. VinnieEastwoodShow.com, 218-339-8525. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is the final segment of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, the lighter side of genocide, your scumbaggery mystique. My very special caller is Anonymous. Welcome back.
Oh, hello. I hope you heard me the first time. It's the first time I've ever called you, so I think I made a mistake somehow.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Oh, great. Anyway, I just can't agree with you more about what you're talking about with the laws. Like, in New Zealand, now we're having private prisons. The government's just signed up to build a 600-bed one somewhere. And now they're passing laws, like three-strike laws, so they're going to fill up these prisons. So the bankers who own the prisons are going to get money from the government by incarcerating us.
Yep, that's true. And it's a scary precedent when you think about they're incentivizing putting people in prison, right? They're actually making a moneymaker out of it. And this happened in the United States as well, where I think prisons in California, they have given government guarantees to the private prison cartels, essentially, that they will guarantee them 90% populations.
Yes, that's extremely scary if you look at all the laws that are being passed in America. Like, now if you denounce your American citizenship and give it up, they're still going to come after you for tax. And you know all the years in jail you'll spend if you don't pay your taxes. So it's just going to turn into a big concentration camp.
Yeah, and there's also the Military Commissions Act, which my producer, when he first came to immigrate to New Zealand, found out about, that if you're top heavy on a mortgage in the United States, you cannot leave the country.
Yes, well, they're cancelling your passport. That's why they want to put computer chips in your passport, so they can turn them on and turn them off. It's the whole reason behind it. It's not for safety.
Exactly, and half of people in the United States don't even have passports, so they couldn't even escape if they wanted to.
That's correct, and Gerald Celente was talking about how most people haven't even travelled, so how are they going to leave the country when they've never even been on a holiday before outside America?
I mean, we're talking about a society full of people who have been basically conditioned into being dependent. And that's what this whole globalist plan of interdependence is. You know what the word interdependence means?
Yes, it means that you're not independent, but you need help from other people to survive.
Well, I've come up with a definition that it leads you into dependence.
Oh, okay. Yes, that's excellent. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, and that's the whole deal here. If you're completely dependent on your government for your food, your water, your housing, your clothing, your education system, how much power you got if they take them away from you? You got nothing.
That's correct. And if you look at what happened in Russia and the Soviet Union, like if you didn't go along with the government and didn't inform on your neighbours and didn't denounce your friends to the KGB, you'd lose your house, your daughter would be kicked out of university, so they're going to have complete control.
Yeah, at that time in Nazi Germany or Stalinist Russia, they had something like what? 10% of the population who was under the employ of the KGB. It was extraordinary. Like, anybody of your family or your friends could be an agent. And what's happening
now is
basically the best way to keep a herd in line is to get the other animals to keep each other in line. There was an interesting test that was done with some monkeys and bananas and a pole and a cage and a hose. It was wonderful.
Uh-huh.
They put some bananas at the top of a cage and a whole bunch of monkeys down the bottom. Every time the monkeys tried to scale up and get those bananas, they'd spray them all with a hose. They'd spray them all until eventually those monkeys stopped wanting to go up that pole. And then they introduce another monkey, who'd never been sprayed with a hose, doesn't know what's going on, and he sees those bananas at the top of the pole, and he says, mate, some pretty damn tasty bananas. So he runs up there. They don't spray anybody with the hose, but all the other monkeys grab him and drag him down and make sure that he can't get those bananas.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds like the tall poppy syndrome, doesn't it? It's like when you're jealous of your neighbor getting ahead, you secretly undermine him and do things to sort of like sabotage his success. So I think people do that as well.
Indeed. Well, do you have anything else to call? Where are you calling from, by the way?
Oh, I'm calling from Hamilton, New Zealand. I've just started listening to your show. I think it's really excellent, and I can't really believe how I've missed it for all these months. I can't believe it.
Well, if you have you heard of Rush FM in Hamilton there?
No, I don't think I have. No, I'll look it up and start listening to it.
Yeah, well, they play my show in Hamilton. A good friend of mine, Roy Harlow, plays it there. So if you go to rushfm.co.nz, you'll be able to listen to the Vinnie Eastwood show in your car, mate.
Well, that sounds like heaven. I think I'd enjoy that. And I'm going to sign up and start becoming a paid member, because what you're doing is very important. Like, I wish that more people would try and do what you're doing. So, you know, I'm going to support you, and hopefully other people will stand up as well.
Oh, thank you so much for your call. What's your first name there, by the way, man?
Andrew,
thank you so much for your call. It's very rare that we get the New Zealand listeners. In fact, you might be the second New Zealand listener we've ever had. The first one was Dion calling in from Illinois. the expat army we've got out there. We're going to have to jump to our next caller, Tim in Wisconsin. You're on the air, Tim.
Hi.
Tim, are you there?
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Something I couldn't help wanting to say as a message to the New World Order out there is, you know, the thing of taking all our rights away and stuff is not right. Just because all you have the power, that doesn't make it right. Might does not make right. And I don't care what, I am not going for you scumbags, New World Order, in that White House. Yeah, I'm not going for you scumbags in that White House. Is New World Order, no matter what.
You know what? I think it's back to the wall situation, don't you think, Tim? It's like, sooner or later, there's nowhere to escape to, there's nowhere to run, and all you got is to resist and fight back. You know, you don't really have much of a choice in the matter, because I think once you understand what the New World Order agenda really is, then you have absolutely no way whatsoever of going back further, okay? You can only expand, you can only keep yelling, screaming through the megaphones and all of that kind of stuff. You know, get out there, do something. It's very empowering, Tim, I can tell you, man. Even when we had a big chemtrail here in Auckland, I went out by myself with a megaphone and a little banner on the side of the street just saying, everybody, look up at the sky. You're being lovingly sprinkled with wonderful aluminum and barium and strontium. It's going to make all your crops fail, except if you've got wonderful Monsanto's aluminium resistant crops. Just have a laugh, mate. You know, these New World Order power brokers, as far as I'm concerned, they're a joke. They're those little boys that basically never got enough love from daddy, got mind controlled and got indoctrinated into cults early on. They never had a chance at a normal life. Tim, thank you for your call. I'm going to jump to my next caller now, area code 643. What's your first name and state you're calling from, please?
Hi, Vinny.
Yeah.
How you going?
I'm doing somewhat fabulous. What's your name, brother, and where are you calling from?
I'm Jason. I'm actually going to be on your show tomorrow talking about the stuff that's happening in Christchurch.
Oh, yep.
Yep, we're going to be talking about the chemtrails and also the asbestos that they were, the council were planning on dumping out by our way.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But what I called up about was I don't agree with what you were saying about that we can win this fight. I believe they have come too far and that they're too big. And I think with the truth movement, we can throw a spanner in the works, but if the spanner is too big, it will just get put down like many freedom fighters have been, you know, put to death and stuff. I believe we can try and wake people up and slow it down, but I believe their plan will go through. What do you think about that?
Well, in any guerrilla war, and thanks for your call, Jason. I think we'll be coming to the end of the show soon. But in any guerrilla yep. war, the general tactic you need at least 10 times as many troops on the ground as your enemy has troops in the bush. Okay, currently the amount of enlisted personnel is far outnumbered by the truth movement and the general population. So they can't yep. win on a guerrilla war standpoint because let's have a look at the millions and millions of gun owners in the United States. And even a quarter of a million gun owners in New Zealand who have close to a million guns under their belts kind of things, you know. So in terms of guerrilla war, they can't win there. In terms of propaganda war, it comes down to activism. I talk about the tactic of the cactus. A cactus protects itself by covering itself in spines from every direction. And you will find that every single New World Order agenda that is being implemented anywhere in the world, there is a truther, there is an activist, there is somebody in that area who sees it, documents it, exposes it, and repels it, and brings attention to the rest of the cactus. That is the truth cactus. You cannot attack a cactus from any direction and not get a little prick. So that is the spanner yep. in the works. Not only can they not beat us because they do not have the numbers and they do not have the tactics necessary, but also they cannot find a weak point because the entirety of society is waking up to this left, right, and centre, and there's nothing they can do to stop it.
True. And I'd like to think that the majority are waking up, but from my experience, trying to wake people up is just about impossible.
You're right. You don't need people to wake up. Throughout history, it has always been a small, determined minority that has changed history, not the majority, as we all would like to wake up. The majority don't matter, okay? It's really cruel to say it, but trust me, the majority do not matter. You will do a heck of a lot more damage to the New World Order agenda than 1,000 people who hear about it and do nothing by yourself. All right? That's how much power we have. That's why we're going to win, because we are incredibly powerful. The New World Order wants us to think that we're weak and that we're alone, that we're disparate, but we are connected. We are everywhere. We are legion. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show.